Sukadeva Goswami continued, "O best of the Kuru dynasty, Kamsa was fiercely cruel and was actually a follower of the Rakshasas. Therefore, he could be neither pacified nor terrified by the good instructions given by Vasudeva. He did not care about the results of sinful activities, either in this life or in the next. When Vasudeva saw that Kamsa was determined to kill his sister, Devaki, he thought to himself very deeply, considering the imminent danger of death, he thought of another plan to stop Kamsa. Purport. Although Vasudeva saw the imminent danger that his wife Devaki would be killed, he was convinced of his... He was convinced of his welfare because at his birth, the demigods had played drums and kettle drums. He therefore attempted another way to save Devaki. So here comes Vasudev. He is then trying to placate the mood of Kamsa. Because Kamsa is very worried here, very much in anxiety about his own personal, position, his own health, his own happiness. So this is common. Every living entity naturally will be thinking about happiness. That's something that is always thought about. How to gain happiness, how to avert distress. In the spiritual world, then those thoughts are how to make things nice for Krishna. And here, then it's how to make it nice for ourselves. So when you take that to extreme, then you have the gopis on one side in the spiritual world, and then you have the rakshasas and other such demons here in the material world. So the principle is, I mean, the commonality of these two is the point of there is relationship and goal. So then, in this, then the relationship is that in the spiritual world we want to serve the Lord. And we have that mood of service because we identify as the Lord's servants and there's affection for the Lord. But in the material world, that relationship is broken. We don't identify with the Lord because our purpose is lust or sense gratification. So because of that, then that love changed to lust, therefore the identity will manifest as different. It's not connected with the Lord. Therefore, what is connected with the Lord is not so important. So rules and regulations of the scriptures, you know, pious behavior, religious life, this is connected to the Lord. So if the demoniac tendency is less, and the devotional tendency is more, then a proper lifestyle is followed. But as you increase the demoniac nature, then naturally, then as lust increases, the relationship with the Lord decreases, and sinful life becomes normal, that's standard. Because they may be there in the scriptures, but, you know, we don't worry about that. We're worried about today. And of today, we're worried about right now. And right now is too late for me to be happy. I should have already been happy. So therefore, then, the tendency is to do anything. So Vasudeva, seeing this, then he is trying different ways to placate. Because he is Kshatriya family, he has training. He is from a good family. So then, possibly, the philosophy and those things would work. So he tries that. So right now he's, up to this point, he has tried philosophy. You know about when basically we're not the body, we go from body to body by the desires of the mind. So basically if the desires are pious, we'll get a good birth and we'll enjoy. If it's impious, we'll get a bad birth, we'll suffer. Then, you know, saying these things, then, you know, this is all the philosophy. Then he touches on a sentimental note that this is your sister, she's younger than you. Therefore, the younger sister is treated like daughter, so she is given all the care and attention as one would give protection to a daughter. So, like this. And the also, you know, for the younger brother or the opposite, the older brother, sister, seem like the mother and father. So then he hits on these familial ties, this kind of sentiment. But, you know, so he's trying both of these avenues, right? He's spoken philosophy, he's discussed religion, you know, all higher things. And also the game, you know, in other words, he's discussed dharma, artha, kama, and moksha here. That all these things, he's addressed the intellectual platform, he's addressed the mental, emotional, and religious platform, he's addressed the platform of gain, material gain and loss, and of sense gratification. And he sees that none of them worked. So now he'll try something else. But there's a consideration in trying, because he's made an endeavor. How do you know when to stop the endeavor? That is important. Right? In any activity, to know how much or how little to do, this is important. The endeavor, I mean, you can philosophize all day, you can come up with so many plans, this and that, but to know how much to apply, that is what's important. Right? You know you should put some salt while you're cooking. That's nice. You can talk about the glories of salt, how it brings out the taste, it improves the digestion. There's so many nice things. It helps the vegetables break down so then they cook quicker. You know, you can go on and on and on talking about the glories of salt. Great, but if you don't know how much salt to put, it's useless. So this is a very, very key thing in our life, is how much to worry about something, how much to endeavor about something. And when do we decide that, okay, that's all I can do? Like that, it's up to the Lord. I've applied my intelligence, I've applied, you know, my energies, According to my nature, I've done the best that can be done. It's still not going in a good way. Krishna must have some plan. Or that, no, I haven't tried enough. Like that. So this is a very, very essential point. So here, then, Anakadundavi, or Vasudev, then he was considering that he has the name Anakadundavi because when he was born, then from the heavens, kettle drums played. Right? I mean, it's not a common thing. I mean, I don't know. You yourself, when you were born, then your mother told you later that, I'd like to tell you something very strange. You know, when you were born, I heard all these, celestial beings playing on big kettle drums. You know, don't spread it around. You might get in trouble. Right? That you yourself, or your own children, or you even heard of someone else, good chance one has. The only one I've ever heard of is Vasudev. Like that. Oh, also Arjuna. When Arjuna appeared, then also the same thing. Except for along with that, there was also singing, dancing, all kinds of stuff. But here, kettle drums were played. So then he understood that that kind of sign means his life will be very auspicious. Many good things will happen. So then he considered that, considering that point, right, it's not the what you would call the pinnacle of, pious results, that on the day of your marriage, when the going from the the house of the wife, her father's house, to your own house, then her relative kills her. Right? You would not put this on your list of desirable situations. So considering that, he figured something like this shouldn't happen in his life. This kind of calamity, because it's not, so therefore he figured, okay, I'll try another way. Right? Like that. Of course, if that doesn't work, okay, then what can you do? But considering it, otherwise he's tried all the discussions, and normally you can consider that's all you can do. But he decided to take it another step. Therefore, that step hasn't been revealed yet. Like that. So then, he's considering, contemplating very deeply what else he can do. So that's another important aspect, besides knowing how much to endeavor. It is the practicalness of endeavor. This is a very essential point of the Vedic culture and philosophy, is that your knowledge and your goals, your relationships must all match to create a practical situation. If someone has tried something and it didn't work, then either it's the Lord's plan, so you can do nothing about it, or you didn't know how to make it practical. Right? The problem in both of these approaches, which are Vedic, it's either you didn't apply it properly, or it's the Lord's plan. So in both of these, one, you're not in control, and two, you're not, practical enough, or thoughtful enough, or deep enough. So both of those kind of, grate with the false ego, and with our attachments. So naturally, in the non-Vedic cultures, these would be the last options, right? If someone else, of course, they didn't try hard enough, and it's God's plan, God's will. But with ourselves, we have to be in control, and we have to get what we want. Right? This is why we're here. Right? You go into a store to buy something, right? You don't go in there to take a nap. So we're in the material world to control and enjoy. So if it's God's plan, we're not in control. And if I didn't try it enough and I didn't get the result, I'm not going to enjoy. Or it means I'm not in control of the situation because I didn't connect my thoughts and the practicalness that I got the results. So therefore, you'll generally see these are always thrown out as options when it comes to us.
If some difficult situation happens with us, it's definitely guaranteed not these two. Someone else, of course. But ourselves, never. Or with great, you know, difficulty, we think, long time, someone else preaching, so many things we read. Slowly, slowly, then, well, maybe Krishna has a plan, or maybe I didn't apply it right. Right? And how many times have we heard that a devotee say, oh, I've tried those things, it's not practical. Right? Or in my life, yes, we have to be practical, Prabhu. That's why I come to the temple once a year on Janmashtami, and, you know, when I wear karmic clothes and do all these things, because it's practical, right? So, how many times we've heard this? So what does this mean? This means the person cannot connect the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, the culture of Krishna consciousness, and their own life. Whose fault is that? It's not the fault of the philosophy of the culture. Everybody else is going on. We see here, Vyat Vasudev will be successful. We read Bhagavatam, so many people are successful, both spiritually and materially. Right? So this is the reality, is the idea that a solution is there in something non-Vedic, where the Vedic can't give a solution. This is the, how do you say it? To say it pleasantly, would be the position of an uninformed person. An informed person knows how to practically bring it to the ground, or they know that it's Krishna's plan. So in either case, I'm not in control. I do my best, I make that endeavor, but it's up to Krishna, ultimately. So that means the Vedic culture is operated by persons who are deep. Shallowness is for the modern culture. That is the, how do you say, the symptom or the...
Trademark,
yes, that's a good one. The trademark of the modern culture is shallowness. And the more modern it is, and less old school, the more shallow it is. Old school has a little depth to it. Then you get religious, it gets more deep. You add in the Vedic philosophy and proper understanding of application, that gets seriously deep. And then when you add in devotional service, now it gets to be, you know, then like an ocean. So that's the reality. We may like it, we may not like it. But unfortunately, it doesn't matter if we like it or don't like it. That's the bottom line. Because we don't like it, then the modes of nature will just take us through body after body after body, like every other living entity in this world. They don't like it, and they're going through it. Big deal. If we really don't like it, then we take up seriously Krishna consciousness. Then we become serious about ending all this insanity, because we want it to end. Right? Krishna consciousness can give us so much more than just fixing our material situation, making a nice situation for us. It can do so much more than that. It can do that also as a side thing. Right? But it can actually fix things. Prabhupada always had solutions for everything. I mean, there's a couple of occasions where there's one, I think there's about 25 or 30 different things. He took all the world issues, you know, things that are very important on the modern scenario, and each and every one he addressed them and showed the Krishna conscious solution. Because there is not a material solution for a material problem. It doesn't exist. You know, it just doesn't exist. So the only solutions are devotion. The Veda can get close to almost fixing it, but it can't completely fix it. Because the problem of the material world is our not connecting with Krishna. Right? Shiva and Parvati don't have any problem here. Why? Because everything is connected to Krishna. So the material energy personified doesn't have any problem because she's a pure devotee of Krishna. Everything she does is for pleasing Krishna. She has no problem. So the problem isn't the material energy. The problem is our desire to control and enjoy it. Then we fall into this category. That's why Kamsa has a problem. Kamsa has a problem because the lust has replaced the love for Krishna. And therefore, that has become so intense, he'll do anything to get it. Right? That's the point. Is that someone is pious, they won't do anything to get what they want. They will know that what is the results of that. You know, I'm cooking, let's say, some sweet. Oh, I like sugar. So if I put in 5 times the amount of sugar than is necessary, does it make it better? No. There's a certain amount. You have to restrict yourself and only put the right amount. Okay? So this is the meaning of the shallowness of the material experience. Because it's just words. This is called the world of words, the world of names. And the name is what's important. So the... what's that word? Where it's the definition of a word. And people argue over that. They have different...
Epistemology?
Semantics, that's it. Yeah, you get devoted, arguing like anything for hours over something. It's just semantics. And this one's used this word to mean this, and another one's used the synonym to mean this. But the other one means the exact opposite, those synonyms. But we have in our minds that this means this. At any time anybody speaks and touches on that word, immediately the issue comes up, we have to talk about that issue. You can't even hold a nice conversation because of the semantics of words. So that's what the material world is. It's only words. So therefore the semantics of the words becomes very important for the materialist. Because that's all they got. They only have words. They don't have anything more. As deep as the meaning of the word is, that's it. Right? And generally, if you take a word, unless you know how to connect it to God, it doesn't automatically connect. Right? So that's the point, is that the non-Vedic, unfortunately, is very shallow because it's only words. While the Vedic has a way to connect it to God. If you don't connect it, it's also useless. Okay, it's nicer useless. I'd probably give the example. Someone's bound by iron chains and another one by silver or gold chains. But they're still bound. You know, the prisoner is here, you know, they're sitting here, and one guy's looking at his gold chains and say, "Pap, you're bound by an iron chains." And the guy with the iron chains is actually jealous of the one with the gold chains and wish my chains were gold. Right? So, but it's still bound. Therefore, the real thing is Krishna consciousness. So if one has faith that Krishna consciousness will solve all problems, whatever, and that from that, then you'll actually be satisfied, then we can get somewhere. But if not, then we're always going to suffer. We're always going to be dissatisfied. Because the material world will never do what we expect it to do. Because unfortunately, the material world is a devotee of Krishna. And she doesn't like being messed about by non-devotees. Or even people who claim to be devotees, but still try to exploit her. She doesn't like it. That's the bottom line. So that's why they say, it doesn't matter what we think. If we think it's nice or not nice, it doesn't matter. Krishna's who she is, Maya is who she is, and we are who we are. And that's the way it is. You know, we may decide we're going to go into the big man's office and we're going to be his friend and take part in everything he does the way we want to do it, but it doesn't matter. It absolutely doesn't matter. The guy at the door is going to tell you you can't come in. Doesn't matter how much we get angry or be sentimental or say this or that or drop names. It doesn't matter. The guy at the door is going to stop us. So, therefore, the bottom line is, it doesn't matter if we believe it or not. It's the way it is. It's just reality. So, when a devotee says, I'm being real, Prabhu, then you can take it, explain what is reality. And then we will find that that reality is not so real. It means I am accepting my conditioned nature in a non-devotional way as real. That's the definition. Then yes, you could say yes, if that is your idea of reality, it's true. But if we want to talk real reality, then God's the guy that makes things move and shake around here. And that's the reality. So bridging that gap then may take more than the 3 seconds it takes to become an expert, according to the modern American theory. Right? Isn't it? Everywhere else in the world, someone becomes expert by training. Right? Note this. They become expert by training. You know, here in the East, then generally there's a guru or someone like that. Then if you go to, you know, Europe, then they went to a good school. But in America, no, it's the sentiment. You have the bozo guy, spaced out, nice guy, and then the situation gets tough, and then somehow or another, miraculously, he turns into the topmost, togethermost guy that there is. And he does the most amazing things, comes out on top, just by the spur of the moment. Great. You know, the guy that wrote the movie got paid really well. And we're foolish enough to go and pay money to see it. And the guy that produced it made money. Everybody made money. And then we think it's reality. So training is how we will bridge the gap. Training, association, contemplation, devotional service, standard stuff that Prabhupada talks about. This is how we get somewhere. We hear about it, we never heard about it because we don't read Prabhupada's books enough. You know, devotee quotes something, oh, I never heard that. Is that enough? Just because we didn't hear about it? Is that enough?
Tatran Vapadyata Hidam Tatran Sattva
Vichintyana Kalunduhi
Vichintyana Kalunduhi
Praptam Kalam Pratityodhum
Praptam Kalam Pratityodhum
Imam Tatravat Vapadyata
Imam Tatravatyata
Nirbandham Tasyatam Yatva
Nirbandham Tasyatam Yatva
Vichintyana Kalunduhi
Vichintyana Kalunduhi
Praptam Kalam Pratityodhum
Praptam Kalam Pratityodhum
Iyam Tatravapadyata
Iyam Tatravapadyata Nirbandham Tasyatam Yatva
Nirbandham tasyatam gyatva
Nirbandham tasyatam gyatva
Vichintyana kadundubihi
Vichintyana kadundubihi
Praptam kalam prativyodum
Praptam kalam prativyodum
Idam tatrangapadyata
Idam tatrangapadyata
Nirbandham tasyatam gyatva
Nirbandham tasyatam gyatva
Kalam,
Kalam,
imminent danger of death. Pratibhyodhum, to stop him from such activities. Idam, this, tatra, thereupon. Andapadyata, thought of other ways. Translation. As your youngest sister, this poor girl, Devaki, is like your own daughter and deserves to be affectionately maintained. You are merciful, and therefore you should not kill her. Indeed, she deserves your affection. Sukadeva Goswami continued, O best of the Kuru dynasty, Kamsa was fiercely cruel and was actually a follower of the Rakshasas. Therefore, he could be neither pacified nor terrified by the good instructions given by Vasudeva. He did not care about the results of sinful activities, either in this life or in the next. When Vasudeva saw that Kamsa was determined to kill his sister, Devaki, he thought to himself very deeply. Considering the imminent danger of death, he thought of another plan to stop Kamsa. Purport. Although Vasudeva saw the imminent danger that his wife Devaki would be killed, he was convinced of his welfare because at his birth the demigods had played drums and kettle drums. He therefore attempted another way to save Devaki. So here Kamsa, Vasudev, he is then trying to placate the mood of Kamsa. Because Kamsa is very worried here, very much in anxiety about his own personal, position, his own health, his own happiness. So this is common. Every living entity naturally will be thinking about happiness. That's something that is always thought about. How to gain happiness, how to avert distress. In the spiritual world, then those thoughts are how to make things nice for Krishna. And here, then it's how to make it nice for ourselves. So when you take that to extreme, then you have the gopis on one side in the spiritual world, and then you have the rakshasas and other such demons here in the material world. So the principle is, the commonality of these two is the point of there is relationship and goal. So then, in this, then the relationship is that in the spiritual world, we want to serve the Lord. And we have that mood of service because we identify as the Lord's servants and there's affection for the Lord. But in the material world, that relationship is broken. We don't identify with the Lord because our purpose is lust or sense gratification. So because of that, then that love changed to lust, therefore the identity will manifest as different. It's not connected with the Lord. Therefore, what is connected with the Lord is not so important. So rules and regulations of the scriptures, pious behavior, religious life, this is connected to the Lord. So if the demoniac tendency is less and the devotional tendency is more, then a proper lifestyle is followed. But as you increase the demoniac nature, then naturally, then as lust increases, the relationship with the Lord decreases, and sinful life becomes normal, that's standard. Because they may be there in the scriptures, but we don't worry about that. We're worried about today. And of today, we're worried about right now. And right now is too late for me to be happy. I should have already been happy. So therefore, then, the tendency is to do anything. So Vasudev, seeing this, then he is trying different ways to placate. Because he is Kshatriya family, he has training, he is from a good family. So then, possibly, the philosophy and those things would work. So he tries that. So right now, he's up to this point,
He has tried philosophy, you know, about when basically we're not the body, we go from body to body by the desires of the mind. So basically, if the desires are pious, we'll get a good birth and we'll enjoy. If it's impious, we'll get a bad birth, we'll suffer. Then, you know, saying these things, then, you know, this is all the philosophy. Then he touches on a sentimental note that this is your sister, she's younger than you, therefore the younger sister is treated like daughter, so she is given all the care and attention as one would give protection to a daughter. So, like this, and he also, you know, for the younger brother, or the opposite, the older brother, sister, seem like the mother and father. So then he hits on these familial ties, this kind of sentiment. But, you know, so he's trying both of these avenues, right? He's spoken philosophy, he's discussed religion, you know, all higher things. And also the game, you know, in other words, he's discussed dharma, artha, kama, and moksha here. That all these things, he's addressed the intellectual platform, he's addressed the mental, emotional, religious platform, he's addressed the platform of gain, material gain and loss, and of sense gratification. And he sees that none of them worked. So now he'll try something else. But there's a consideration in trying, because he's made an endeavor. How do you know when to stop the endeavor? That is important. Right? In any activity, to know how much or how little to do, this is important. The endeavor, I mean, you can philosophize all day, you can come up with so many plans, this and that, but to know how much to apply, that is what's important. Right? You know you should put some salt while you're cooking. That's nice. You can talk about the glories of salt, how it brings out the taste, it improves the digestion. There's so many nice things. It helps the vegetables break down so then they cook quicker. You know, you can go on and on and on talking about the glories of salt. Great, but if you don't know how much salt to put, it's useless. So this is a very, very key thing in our life, is how much to worry about something, how much to endeavor about something. And when do we decide that, okay, that's all I can do? Like that, it's up to the Lord. I've applied my intelligence, I've applied, you know, my energies according to my nature, I've done the best that can be done. It's still not going in a good way, Krishna must have some plan. Or that, no, I haven't tried enough. Like that. So this is a very, very essential point. So here, then, Anakadundavi, already, Vasudev, then he was considering that he has the name Anakadundavi because when he was born, then from the heavens, kettle drums play. Right? I mean, it's not a common thing. I mean, I don't know. And you yourself, when you were born, then your mother told you later that, you know, I'd like to tell you something very strange. You know, when you were born, I heard all these, you know, celestial beings playing on big kettle drums. You know, don't spread it around, you might get in trouble. Right? That you yourself, or your own children, or you even heard of someone else, good chance one has. The only one I've ever heard of is Vasudev. Like that. Oh, also Arjuna. When Arjuna appeared, then also the same thing. Except for along with that, there was also singing, dancing, all kinds of stuff. But here, kettle drums were played. So then he understood that that kind of sign means his life will be very auspicious. Many good things will happen. So then he considered that, considering that point, right, it's not the what you would call the pinnacle of, you know, pious results, that on the day of your marriage, when the going from the the house of the wife, her father's house, to your own house, then her relative kills her. Right? You would not put this on your list of, you know, desirable situations. So considering that, he figured something like this shouldn't happen in his life. You know, this kind of calamity, because it's not, you know, so therefore he figured, okay, I'll try another way. Right? Like that. Of course, if that doesn't work, okay, then what can you do? But considering it, otherwise he's tried all the discussions, and normally you can consider that's all you can do. But he decided to take it another step. Therefore, that step hasn't been revealed yet. Like that. So then, he's considering, contemplating very deeply what else he can do. So that's another important aspect, besides knowing how much to endeavor. It is the practicalness of endeavor. This is a very essential point in the Vedic culture and philosophy, is that your knowledge and your goals, your relationships must all match to create a practical situation. If someone has tried something and it didn't work, then either this is the Lord's plan, so you can do nothing about it, or you didn't know how to make it practical. Right? The problem in both of these approaches, which are Vedic, it's either you didn't apply it properly, or it's the Lord's plan. So in both of these, one, you're not in control, and two, you're not, you know, practical enough, or thoughtful enough, or deep enough. So both of those kind of, you know, grate with the false ego, and with our attachments. So naturally, in the non-Vedic cultures, these would be the last options. Right? If someone else, of course, they didn't try hard enough, and you know, it's God's plan, God's will. But with ourselves, we have to be in control, and we have to get what we want. Right? This is why we're here. Right? You go into a store to buy something, right? You don't go in there to take a nap. So we're in the material world to control and enjoy. So if it's God's plan, we're not in control. And if I didn't try enough and I didn't get the result, I'm not going to enjoy. Or it means I'm not in control of the situation because I didn't connect my thoughts and the practicalness that I got the results. So therefore, you'll generally see these are always thrown out as options when it comes to us. If some difficult situation happens to us, it's definitely guaranteed not these two. Someone else, of course. But ourselves, never. Or with great, you know, difficulty, we think, long time, someone else preaching, so many things we read. Slowly, slowly, then, well, maybe Krishna has a plan, or maybe I didn't apply it right. And how many times have we heard that a devotee say, oh, I've tried those things, it's not practical. Right? Or in my life, yes, we have to be practical, Prabhu. That's why I come to the temple once a year on Janmashtami, and, you know, when I wear karmi clothes and do all these things, because it's practical, right? So, how many times we've heard this? So what does this mean? This means the person cannot connect the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, the culture of Krishna consciousness, and their own life. Whose fault is that? It's not the fault of the philosophy of the culture. Everybody else is going on. We see here, Yad Vasudev will be successful. We read Bhagavatam, so many people are successful, both spiritually and materially. Right? So this is the reality, is the idea that a solution is there in something non-Vedic, where the Vedic can't give a solution. This is the, how do you say it? To say it pleasantly, would be the position of an uninformed person. An informed person knows how to practically bring it to the ground. Or they know that it's Krishna's plan. So in either case, I'm not in control. I do my best, I make that endeavor, but it's up to Krishna, ultimately. So that means the Vedic culture is operated by persons who are deep. Shallowness is for the modern culture, That is the, how do you say the symptom or the...
Trademark,
yes, that's a good one. The trademark of the modern culture is shallowness. And the more modern it is and less old school, the more shallow it is. Old school has a little depth to it. Then you get religious, it gets more deep. You add in the Vedic philosophy and proper understanding of application, that gets seriously deep. And then when you add in devotional service, now it gets to be, you know, then like an ocean. So that's the reality. We may like it, we may not like it. But unfortunately, it doesn't matter if we like it or don't like it. That's the bottom line. Because we don't like it, then the modes of nature will just take us through body after body after body, like every other living entity in this world. They don't like it, and they go into it. Big deal. If we really don't like it, then we take up seriously Krishna consciousness. Then we become serious about ending all this insanity, because we want it to end. Right? Krishna consciousness can give us so much more than just fixing our material situation, making a nice situation for us. It can do so much more than that. It can do that also as a side thing. Right? But it can actually fix things. Prabhupada always had solutions for everything. I think there's a couple of occasions where there's one, I think there's about 25 or 30 different things. He took all the world issues, you know, things that are very important on the modern scenario, and each and every one he addressed them and showed the Krishna conscious solution. Because there is not a material solution for a material problem. It doesn't exist. You know, it just doesn't exist. So the only solutions are devotion. The Veda can get close to almost fixing it, but it can't completely fix it. Because the problem of the material world is our not connecting with Krishna. Right? Shiva and Parvati don't have any problem here. Why? Because everything is connected to Krishna. So the material energy personified doesn't have any problem because she's a pure devotee of Krishna. Everything she does is for pleasing Krishna. She has no problem. So the problem isn't the material energy. The problem is our desire to control and enjoy it. Then we fall into this category. That's why Kamsa has a problem. Kamsa has a problem because the lust has replaced the love for Krishna. And therefore, that has become so intense, he'll do anything to get it. Right? That's the point. Is that someone is pious, they won't do anything to get what they want. They will know that what is the results of that. You know, I'm cooking, let's say, some sweet. Oh, I like sugar. So if I put in 5 times the amount of sugar than is necessary, does it make it better? No. There's a certain amount. You have to restrict yourself and only put the right amount. Okay? So this is the meaning of the shallowness of the material experience. Because it's just words. This is called the world of words, the world of names. And the name is what's important. So the... what's that word? Where it's the definition of a word. And people argue over that. They have different...
Epistemology?
Semantics, that's it. Yeah, you get devoted arguing like anything for hours over something. It's just semantics. And this one's used this word to mean this, and another one's used the synonym to mean this. But the other one means the exact opposite, those synonyms. But we have in our minds that this means this. And any time anybody speaks and touches on that word, immediately the issue comes up. We have to talk about that issue. You can't even hold a nice conversation because of the semantics of words. So that's what the material world is. It's only words. So therefore, the semantics of the words becomes very important for the materialist. Because that's only God. They only have words. They don't have anything more. As deep as the meaning of the word is, that's it. Right? And generally, if you take a word, unless you know how to connect it to God, it doesn't automatically connect. So that's the point, is that the non-Vedic, unfortunately, is very shallow because it's only words. While the Vedic has a way to connect it to God. If you don't connect it, it's also useless. Okay, it's nicer useless. I'll probably give the example. Someone's bound by iron chains and another one by silver or gold chains, but they're still bound. You know, the prisoner is here, you know, they're sitting here, and one guy's looking at his gold chains and saying, "Ha, you're bound by an iron chains." And the guy with the iron chains is actually jealous of the one with the gold chains and wish my chains were gold. Right? So, but it's still bound. Therefore, the real thing is Krishna consciousness. So if one has faith that Krishna consciousness will solve all problems, whatever, and that from that, then you'll actually be satisfied, then we can get somewhere. But if not, then we're always going to suffer. We're always going to be dissatisfied. Because the material world will never do what we expect it to do. Because unfortunately, the material world is a devotee of Krishna. And she doesn't like being messed about by non-devotees. Or even people who claim to be devotees, but still try to exploit her. She doesn't like it. That's the bottom line. So that's why they say, it doesn't matter what we think. If we think it's nice or not nice, it doesn't matter. Krishna's who she is. Maya is who she is. And we are who we are. And that's the way it is. You know, we may decide we're going to go into the big man's office and we're going to be his friend and take part in everything he does the way we want to do it. But it doesn't matter. It absolutely doesn't matter. The guy at the door is going to tell you you can't come in. Doesn't matter how much we get angry or be sentimental or say this or that or drop names. It doesn't matter. The guy at the door is going to stop us. So, therefore, the bottom line is, it doesn't matter if we believe it or not, it's the way it is. It's just reality. So, when a devotee says, I'm being real, Prabhu, then you can take it, explain what is reality. And then we will find that that reality is not so real. It means I am accepting my conditioned nature in a non-devotional way as real. That's the definition. Then yes, you can say yes, if that is your idea of reality, it's true. But if we want to talk real reality, then God's the guy that makes things move and shake around here. And that's the reality. So bridging that gap then may take more than the 3 seconds it takes to become an expert according to the modern American theory. Right? Isn't it? Everywhere else in the world, someone becomes expert by training. Right? Note this. They become expert by training. You know, here in the East, then generally there's a guru or someone like that. Then if you go to, you know, Europe, then they went to a good school. But in America, no, it's the sentiment. You have the bozo guy, spaced out, nice guy, and then the situation gets tough, and then somehow or another, miraculously, he turns into the topmost, togethermost guy that there is. And he does the most amazing things, comes out on top, just by the spur of the moment. Great. You know, the guy that wrote the movie got paid really well. And we're foolish enough to go and pay money to see it. And the guy that produced it made money. Everybody made money. And then we think it's reality. So training is how we will bridge the gap. Training, association, contemplation, devotional service, standard stuff that Prabhupada talks about. This is how we get somewhere. We hear about it, we never heard about it because we don't read Prabhupada's books enough. You know, devotee quotes something, oh, I never heard that. Is that enough? Just because we didn't hear about it? Is that enough? So we have to go deeply into this. Then we get somewhere. We just stay on the top shallowly. Oh, it's enough. Okay, I figured out how to put on the Dhoti and Tilak. You know, I can get my rounds done. I figured out the temple program. You know, I can follow that. You know, one nano, you know, meter more than that. You know, it's fanatic. That's enough. But we're taking more than one nanometer to make our money. We're reading all kinds of books. We're going to all kinds of seminars. We're flying halfway across the world. But for devotional service, okay, what I learned in the first 3 days in the temple, that's enough. Can we say that's intelligent? Can we say that's practical or real? When we say get real, yeah, get real. Can we say that's real? Like that. So we have to be very contemplative of this. We see Vasudeva is taking it deep. He has tried, you know, practical, how you could deal with most persons who actually care about the scriptures, right? Showing the subtleties of life and how they will gain and lose according to their actions. Didn't work. Try some sentiment. Didn't work. Okay, now he has to come up with something that's going to mean something for this Rakshasa. He's got to come up with a plan that this Rakshasa will take as serious. So that means you have to be more serious to be able to bridge the gap. So that's what devotional service offers. That's what Prabhupada's offering. That's what the acharyas are offering. Is how to understand how to apply in your life Krishna consciousness practically to every moment of your life. Everything about your life. And if there's an obstacle or something unclear, that's natural. Then why do we have intelligence? Why did God give it? So we can use it. Right? Not that we use it for just sense gratification or economic development, but when it comes to religion and freeing ourselves from the material world, then we don't use it. Right? That's the point. Even when we want to be materialistic, how can we say we're completely materialistic if we're only into artha and kama? Artha comes from dharma. So any intelligent person will understand dharma is necessary. And if you're really intelligent, you understand this material world, it just doesn't function right. Where we want to be happy. We want to be eternally happy. It doesn't function. So we have to get out of here. Liberation. So that's the full sphere of material intelligence. You have all four, then you can call yourself that you're really real about the material world. Now if we're really real about the soul, then we have to add God into it. So then we have to develop love and devotion and go back to Godhead. But even if we're saying we're being real in this material world, without these four, you're not real. I'm sorry to say. We're not real. So we see here, Vasudev knows how to use the knowledge and the culture that is there, the philosophy that is given in the scriptures to get a real result. Right? So this is at least here what we've probably overly brought out and stressed from this situation in Tripura. Any questions or comments?
When you were speaking about the terms of reality, of course, without the proper education, so it comes to mind that nowadays the boys even think that the reality, which is educate, for example, the kids with material knowledge, so they can make it in the material world. But according to what you're saying, unless we take the proper, deeper understanding of any culture, at least emotional service, we cannot make it in the material world, because the way the material world is to oppress.
Mm.
So, at what point we lost the faith that the process of devotional service is the ultimate way of getting out, and we are just taking the material side, thinking that with knowledge of computers or with knowledge of different material sciences, the kids are going to make it.
Mm. Yeah, okay. You hear? Yeah. Okay. So then, basically, the principle of switching, you know, using a modern misused term, paradigm. Paradigm is actually a scientific term, but it becomes used in, you know, everywhere. But it's actually used in the scientific field. So then, the switch in the paradigm between Krishna consciousness basically is as the foremost goal to practical getting something in the material world, then comes from this lack of being able to bridge that gap. So we see as speculation is basically rife in the movement. So, and so then if we look at that, then Prabhupada said, philosophy without religion is mental speculation. Right? While religion without philosophy is sentiment. So generally we find that these two are the prominent, easily attainable features, you know, of normal social interaction. Is speculation or sentiment? So that only Krishna consciousness applies both of them together at once. Because there's this idea that if you talk philosophy, there's no sentiment. And if you talk sentiment, then there shouldn't be any philosophy. Both of those are bogus. One's impersonalism, the other's sahaja. You know? So the real thing is that the two are combined together. You have to see both. Without both, you don't have anything. If your sentiment isn't guided by intelligence, that sentiment's going to end you up in a lot of trouble. And if you have only philosophy, there's going to be no taste. So basically, it's devotees were basically working on both. As they expanded, then they didn't expand the culture with it. And then due to lack of culture or religion, then it turns into speculation. And then nowadays, if you want to really discuss it, you bump into a lot of sentiment. And as soon as you poke, then there's an emotional explosion, and that's the end of the conversation. You know, because the idea of combining the two is not a non-Vedic concept. Even within the Vedas, many miss the point, but the West absolutely misses it. It's either, well, you have to be practical, you have that side, or you have the sentiment side. Or they switch back and forth, but never both at once. Like that. So both have to be considered. Your sentiment can go against the philosophy, and the philosophy should apply in practical day-to-day activities. Right? So this is the problem. So basically parents are worried that their children are going to blame them. They don't want to be blamed. Because then if they're blamed, then you spent, you know, 18, 20 years raising a child and putting in, you know, thousands or hundreds of thousands of, you know, whatever you deal in. Then that's all a waste. It means that one's life has to feel that it has some worth to it. That's the element of ego. There must be some worth to it. So then that makes it not worthwhile. And you must have a feeling that there's a need. You have to, the living entity has to feel needed. So then if the children don't need them, then it's a problem. So since the, you know, some children reacted and they got support, that the real problem was is they weren't educated in material knowledge. And that's why they're suffering. Then in react without thinking, then parents many times are following that. Right? Thinking here means I'm thinking deeply. And I've been thinking, of course, but how the depth has to get enough where the two is bridged. Right? Because the point is the body's going to end. That's the small problem. That the soul is going to continue on birth after birth, body after body. That's the big issue. Right? You know, it's like your house is on fire and, you know, your child can't find a toy. Now, an intelligent person would deal with which one first? Right? The fire. So, of the two problems, the problem of the soul is so much greater than the present problem of the body. So therefore, it's of permanence. But since the body is there, it has to be addressed. So that's the problem. The devotees will go from only spiritual and not addressing anything material to only addressing material and not spiritual. So you can't call either of those intelligent. And it doesn't matter how long they've been in the movement. That's the bottom line. Is that you switch from one to the other, it doesn't matter who you are, it's not intelligent. It's not even practical. When they say, you know, and you can't discuss it because of the ego, but reality is another thing, right? False ego, the word false is in front, means not real. So it's undiscussable because of false ego. So they're saying reality, but we want to discuss reality. What's the real ego? So then there must be some solution. So the point is what is the material knowledge for? Has anyone become successful just because they have a piece of paper? I mean, since I was a kid, I was hearing about people with pieces of paper with no jobs. I was hearing about that. So it's something that's not new to Krishna consciousness. Unemployment is not just devotees. Sometimes we get into this idea, you know, it's just like, I remember a funny example, is I always thought, when I first came to India in the 70s, that all the stomach medicine for diarrhea and this and that was for the Westerners. Right? It was only after many, many years I found out that the Indians also get a bad stomach, you know? I didn't think about it, you know? Can you imagine? Hundreds of thousands of dispensaries in India stocked full of stomach medicine only for a couple of devotees, right? So if you look at it, it's not... Many times we're not so real about it. So... We're saying, going, a few devotees don't have, or maybe even many devotees don't have a job. Okay. But there's hundreds of millions of people out there with no job, and they got pieces of paper. And most likely the people that don't have the piece of paper, there's a good chance a lot of them, if they wanted to work, are working. Prabhupada gives the example is, there's the man and his son in Puri, and they go down to the beach and they pick up shells. And then they take the shells and they cut them and make them into various kinds of jewelries and other things. And they sell that. They're a small business and they make some money. Then the father thinks, well, it's not such a great lifestyle. I'm going to get my son educated. So he sends him to school. He gets educated. He gets his degree. Then he can't get a job. But now he can get a job, and now he cannot, due to his own ego, can he go back to the beach and pick up shells? Though he could do that and make money, small, but he won't do it. So many times you see is devotees also. Their lifestyle is not necessarily realistic. Right? The karmi knows if I'm getting this much money, I gotta live by that. That's it. They don't blame anyone else. Devotee, he makes an idea of what my lifestyle should be, and if he doesn't get it, then he blames the society. I then get 25 years, this, that, so many things like this, that. You go out in the material world. They lay guys off. He's been in the company for whatever it is, 29 years and 6 months. He only has to go 6 more months, and then he gets his pension, this and that. They fire him. Just so you won't get it. It's going on today. Right? So the karma is just a just. They got a bill, they got to get the money. Devotees think someone else has got to get the money. It's called the mode of ignorance. That's not real. So we're talking reality, and reality is that you live according to your standard. If you were a karmi right now, if you had never been a devotee, where would you be? You know? You'd be there with that 6-digit, income with no tax. Maybe a few, but probably not many. That is the reality. You know, as a devotee, we become refined, we become developed, so then we're used to higher tastes. But if you go out of Krishna consciousness, this puna mostly about you go back right where you were. You know, big guy, and then you're out pumping gas or selling square tomatoes. Big deal. Okay, you own the whole company and you've got the monopoly in the world of square tomatoes. Okay, now we're talking. But if you're just an agent or just a guy, then big deal. So the point is now, why make money? This is the nice thing. The Tato Brahmajitya, why? Is that asked? Why have a degree? Why make money? What's the importance of making money? Oh, that's obvious. Okay, well, what's so obvious about it? What are you going to do with your money? Where are we going to live? We're going to pay the bills. We're going to eat. Why should you need to pay bills? Right? Well, because why? Just because the body should breathe and the eyelid should open and shut and, you know, we should yawn and burp and, you know, like that? I mean, for what reason? Just to eat? I'm feeding my family. Why? Just so they... For what reason? Just so they can live? You know, it's like the logic of, we'll build a temple so that people will come to the temple and give money so we can maintain the temple. This is very standard. Right? Even now, projects are made so that you attract the Indians so that they'll give money so you can maintain it. If you don't have it, you don't have to maintain it. So, why maintain it? So, unless one is developing a Krishna consciousness, what's the meaning? So, if feeding the family, clothing the family, doing all these things is so that they can be Krishna conscious, then there's some meaning to it. Otherwise, it doesn't have any meaning. Zero meaning. You know, whether it's an Afghan or whether it's a bulldog, it's a doll. So whether you're on the 87th floor on the Upper West Side, you know, or you're down in the Bowery, it doesn't matter. Right? Unless you're connected to Krishna, it's all an illusion. So then, if the purpose is to make your family Krishna conscious, then there's some value to it. Okay, now we're getting real. We're starting to get real. Then, you look at it, so then, the priority is Krishna consciousness. So then, and then now, how are you going to get this money? Right? You're only going to be able to use your own nature to do that. You can't use someone else's nature. So then, what you have, your piece of paper, must match your nature. Right? If I can somehow or another get by and get just pass some, like, you know, say, engineering degree, but I don't really have a nature of being an engineer. Is that my success? And if I really have a nature of being an engineer, do I really need a piece of paper? You know, it can help, but it's not the real thing. The guy is the top engineer not because of the paper, but because he has the qualities of the top engineer. So the training makes it easier for him. But your ability is inherent in you through the karma. Not something else. A piece of paper is not some magic. This is the words of fools. And there are people in the government who want a country of fools. And so it's propagated like that. The schools and the universities make big bucks, and the governments then keep people off the street, out of the workforce, right? That's the way it's planned. And we're the dummies. Okay, we're stupid, that's okay. But we're more stupid if we have a philosophy about it. The normal karma doesn't even think about it. He just goes along the tide. The devotee makes a philosophy about it. That's even more stupid. Right? There's tons of people made in so many ways except for this way. Because this is the way they project. It sounds good. People buy it. And it keeps things happening. So this is important. So the devotees are more they are more modern karmis than the karmis. Like the karma, you can talk some Krishna consciousness. You could talk something interesting. Maybe they can't do this and that. Devotees can't talk. Right? I can go and talk to anybody in modern education about the Vedic education, and they'll sit and listen with open ears and wide eyes and think, this is great. It is rare I can find anybody to talk about in ISKCON education about the Vedic principles of education, because it's not practical. It's fanatic. And I'm speaking from my experience. I was talking to superintendent in New York, superintendent of schools. And when he heard about the Vedic principles, he was discussing with me how these could be applied in the schools. New York City. Not, you know, some out-of-the-way village in some place in, you know, Montana or something. New York, Manhattan. And he thought it was great. So the devotees are more non-devotees than the non-devotees. And it's common. You get the Indians, they go to the West, they're more... The Indians in America are more American than the Americans. So the Indians in Australia are more Australian than the Australians. Anyone who's dealt with them, preached with them, knows. So the devotees follow the same thing. Because what is the opposite? Philosophy and sentiment. So the philosophy is us without a culture, and the sentiment is the Hindus. So if you want to stay balanced, then you have to put the two together. So the degree is useful if it is in connection with your nature for the lifestyle that you need to live, to become Krishna conscious. But to just say that getting a piece of paper is success, that's stupid. Because if you have a piece of paper, you can't be Krishna conscious. What's the use? Let alone your paper, your breathing and opening and closing your eyes is useless. Let alone your piece of paper. But now, if you see the nature, see what your plan is, have a goal like that, and in that, you're going to have to take care of your family in this way. So therefore, I need a piece of paper for it. Because I want to be Krishna conscious, I want my family to be Krishna conscious. This is called intelligent. This is thoughtful. But I don't hear it discussed like that. The paper is the goal. And that paper assures you of the goal of being successful, secure, and happy in this world.
And unfortunately, those three words don't apply to the material world. You have money, it doesn't mean any security. Right? You have a family, it doesn't mean any security. You know, it doesn't matter what you have, there's nothing secure in this world. It doesn't matter what you have, it doesn't guarantee happiness. Therefore, we're speaking strongly from that angle. The problem is not the piece of paper. You have the nature, it's important, it's useful, fine. But if one thinks that this is a realistic goal that will actually create happiness in this world, or satisfaction, that's the thought of fools. Because if it's not connected to Krishna and put in the proper balance with Krishna, it has no meaning. Right? So there's no problem in the students getting a piece of paper. But if you're going to project to them that this is what's going to make you happy, and this is what's going to make you successful, then you're only going to bring trouble even on your own self. Because then the students think, I don't get my piece of paper. Let us say they don't have the intelligence to get the piece of paper. Your whole motive for them to even sit down and study is because you need this piece of paper. It's going to backfire. That's the thing, there's no material solutions. Right? Robespierre started the revolution, and Robespierre also went under the guillotine. That's the point. You tell the people, you'll be happy, you'll enjoy. They're not smart enough to understand that they're not going to be happy, not going to enjoy. So they get up, they start the revolution, and then afterwards, then they've gotten rid of all those people that are stopping them from enjoying, you know, like Louis XVI. And then what? And then they suddenly enjoyed. They cut off Louis XVI's head, and now they were happy. Everything went perfectly fine after that. No, it still didn't go fine. Then, you know, then Robespierre was in there. And then what? And along comes Napoleon. So the materialists are pretty stupid. There's a few smart guys. They write books. How many people follow them? How many people can follow them? So the real reality is that unless it's Krishna consciousness, it's seen in connection with the whole picture, it's not actually very thoughtful. It may take us time to develop those things, it may take us time, but at least if we're trying in that direction, right? The kids in the first grade know the last time that he's uneducated. They know he's in the first grade. And if he sticks to it, next year he'll be second grade. Then like this, he'll get his, and so he becomes a PhD. Right? So the same way as if you're trying to think about it, no one's going to say there's a fault. To say there's a fault, then that's for fools. Right? Prabhupada said, impossible is a word in the fool's dictionary. So to say that Vedic culture is not practical, this is from the fool's, you know, phrase book. It's the same principle. It just means they don't want to take the time to think or educate. I'm already an advanced devotee in the way I am. Don't bother me. Right? As soon as it's this, that, and hey, I'm senior, I'm this, I'm that. Okay? You can't call that reality. It is reality, yes, that ego is there, pride is there, the need for different things, the easiness to get distracted off into fruitive results or impersonal goals is very real. But the person thinking that their position is fine, that's unreal. So therefore, we have to deal with that. So the point is it's not, Bhaktivinoda Thakura makes the point, you don't go back to the beginning. That's a very important point. Okay, we've gone down this path in this way, if it's not right, we don't have to go back to correct it. No, from the point where we are, correct it from there. That's called intelligence. Otherwise, a fanatic will say you go back.
And the liberal will say, oh, it's not so bad. It doesn't matter that we're, you know, 2 inches off course. You know, by the time we get to the goal, you know, we'll be 3 billion miles away. You know, no big deal. So the liberal is sentimental. And the fanatic or the critic, then is also not intelligent. So they're both foolish. The real thing is know where the goal is, and if we're off the track, then from there, make a line towards the goal. And then you get to the goal. It's not that this line, wherever it is, you get to the line. That's the point. So somebody's doing it, they understand why they're getting a piece of paper. What is the importance of it? So therefore, the teachers, the students, the parents should be educated why it's necessary. And where does it fit in? Or if it's necessary. And if it is, then great. If it's not, then why say it is? So then you take from wherever it is, start from there. Because so many things have been gained also. You know, more of a broad vision, more of a tolerance. But it's come in from, you know, maybe not the most best of ways. But it's there. So then take the devotees from there forward. So it's not that it's wrong. But you have to see that it's what it's right for, that's what it's doing. Right? If it is as a credence, only those students should be doing that. Only those teachers that understand how it works and can bridge that piece of paper to the material world, to Krishna consciousness. Then they should be involved. And parents who understand that, put their kids in that situation. Then it becomes good. Otherwise, just to say everybody's got to have or nobody should have, it's not well thought out. You know? Because let's say, business you don't have to have a degree for. Right? Like that. To be a good manager you don't need a degree. Like that. But let's say if you do have a nature of an artist and you have a particular field, you may need training in that. You know what I'm saying? So let's say somebody, their nature is to be a computer guy that works for someone else, for the businessman. For him, it may be important. Because you're not going to just pick it up by mood. You know, of course, they sit there for long enough and play with it, they'll figure out something. But they may need training for that. Or some specific tool you need training for that. But that has to be seen in relation to the big picture. You know, of going back to Godhead and my whole life, how that will unfold. Then it has, I need this tool to do this. Then it's useful. But to say that tool is the goal, and that the tool itself gets you the goal, it's no. The tool is part of process. Understanding the process, being Krishna conscious, that is what gets you the goal. The tools are just used. Right? It's the carpenter who makes the furniture, not the tools. You know, when you ask, oh, who made this nice cabinet? You don't go, oh, that hammer and chisel over there. No, you ask, who's the guy who was holding the hammer and chisel? This is the point. The tools aren't what get you the goal. Because tools are in sambandha. Right? And then applying those tools, that's how you get them. That gets you the result. So it's actually a misunderstanding even of our own philosophy. Okay.
That's something I forgot to look this way. Okay, so we should end here. It's quite late.
The question. Sometimes we have like a... Maybe we have to do something, like authority is telling us to do something, and we try it so many times and it doesn't work out. Like we really try it, then... What is the limit when we have to know that it's Krishna's plan that we cannot do it, or just because of our... We didn't think enough or something, it's our mistake?
Generally, you consult.
Of course of the others.
Yeah, you go back to yourself. It means we've tried this, I tried it the way you said, or I tried it and then maybe these adjustments didn't work. Then you discuss. That's why association is important, because our intelligence or our view may not be enough. So then others come up with, I found myself, I'll be thinking about something for days or weeks, can't come up with a solution. Then discuss it with a few other people involved. Somebody will just throw out something that seems absolutely insane. But when you think about it, it's great. You know? So that's the whole thing. So many things come up. That's why the society is important. You know? And that's the process. Grantarai Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Sala Vita Bhagavatam ki, Janata Dhobhudu Pekka.